morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys, and it's great to be with you here this morning. Looking forward to having a great time with you. I have Tuck in the studio with me. Aaron here is with me, and this is Roland, your host. And I'm just glad to be doing another episode of the Wise Guys. But I'll tell you what.
How long have you been doing this show?
We've been doing this since 2010, brother. 2010.
I haven't been doing it that long. I'm not old like you.
I know, right?
Well, at least not until next month.
Thank you for that.
That would have made him 47 back then.
Really?
Well,
that's right.
2010, that's 14 years ago.
Oh, so, for those days.
Yeah.
Like 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, no, you say 2010, so 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, that's an extra year.
Oh, I guess, okay, I see how you're saying it. Okay, I got you now.
Well, in like form, you know, we've always had trouble with Skype, and I just got a text.
We're not on.
We're on, but We got a beeping like a submarine in the background.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
Well, it's a warning.
Warning. Warning.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Yeah, maybe this is planned. Warning. Warning. You know, should we dare give a call to our favorite person?
One last call. I think we'll just say it right now. This will be the last time we call our friend on air.
Yeah, right? Yes.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I think this is amazing. God, you got me laughing, man. Why do you say that? Because the Wise Guys is coming to a close. You know, we're going to be taking a different format, but usually you've always caught us live, so you've always caught us
mistakes and all,
warts and all. This is what you get, and this is what we do. So let's see if we can do it one more time. Okay, so we're going to give a call. Let's see if he actually picks up the phone. Okay, let's see if he does it. I don't know if people can hear the ring thing. Well, maybe you can't hear it over the beeping sound.
Yeah, right, after the sonar.
But I know he's not going to pick this up. He's going to go, no way. It's Roland again.
There he goes.
Good morning, Phil.
Phil, you know, this is going to be our last show with the Hebrew, well, with the Wise Guys. And we thought we just had to call you because you've saved us so many times, and we just wanted to get that feeling on air with Phil on the call with us.
A live thank you.
Oh, yeah, a live thank you, number one.
And please.
But number two, because it never fails. I mean, you're the dude that fixes every problem. And so, like today, guess what we have? We're on air live, and we have a submarine sound in the back going, beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep. So it never fails. So we just got to call you and see if you're able to fix that for us. And then we'll never have to call you again, Phil, because this is our last show.
At least live.
Okay, so the live shows are going to be done. So this is the last time we call you. Do you think you can help us?
Yeah, I can help you. I write
All right.
Yeah.
So
how's that?
That's perfect. So we're going to just – we are going to stay on the air, even with the beeping sound. And people know that if it goes away, it's all because Phil helped us today. Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me. You guys are about ready to go live now, aren't you?
We are live. In fact, that's why you're on the phone. People are actually getting to hear the real voice of Phil. Okay. So no longer
maybe getting to hear Phil. He fights the beeping.
No longer are you the man behind the curtain. Anyways, we love you, man, and when you get a chance, help us out, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
All
right. Thanks so much. Bye. In between time, everyone that's listening to us right now, you're just going to have to get along with the beep for just a minute.
Best laid plans of mice and men.
All right. Stop. You know, before we get into the scriptures that we were wanting to get into, what is today? It's like the 27th.
Yes, June 27th.
June 27th.
So we're almost halfway through 2020. Oh, wait, 3.
Yeah, 23.
Wow. Where's time gone?
I used to never think that time would last this long, you know? And Tuck, when you said that I started back in 2010 at 47, I wish I was 47 again. I mean, that was...
I don't.
I felt good at 47.
Well, yeah, but it's, you could not go back knowing what you know today and have everything be the same.
Oh, it
would not
be the
same.
But I'd be running a little faster, biking a little harder.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe. There are certain things that we don't know. You can't just say, I'm going to go back to that time and redo it.
Yes, you can. There's it's called Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Okay.
Well, how did that end up? Yeah. That took three episodes or three movies to take care of their mistake.
It won't happen.
It won't happen?
No.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
I mean, Yahweh gives us all sorts of chances. And as you will understand, most of the time we screw those things up.
Stop being a wise guy, okay? Cut it out.
We are masters at ruining Yahweh's plan.
Man, to be a wise guy, the Wise Guy Show has no room.
Yes.
Hey, so tell us, being another wise guy, is the June 27, is that an important date for anything?
Well, you know, looking at the history like we do often, a lot of things pop up on this day in history, and I'll just go over a few of them that kind of jump out, that stand out. In 1997, on this day, the Air Force releases their report on Roswell.
Who's Roswell?
That's Area 51, the UFO landing.
Oh, that's not a person, that's a place.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And so in 97, they release a report on that. Now, I don't remember what the report said. It was too long ago to kind of
That was an alien aircraft that landed on a farmland. Okay.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Right.
And they picked up the pieces. The farmer had made a statement, and then the farmer retracted all of his statements, saying he was...
Might be forcefully retracted, but yes.
Misunderstood. I didn't understand completely what I saw, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Snap with the camera.
Yeah. So there's that.
Okay.
1675, King Philip's War began. Napoleon invades Russia.
Go back. Napoleon invades Russia.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the 1700s.
1812. Yeah.
In this time period. Okay.
On this day,
and
yeah.
And did we just have a rebel from Putin's army now invade and come back and do a march on Warsaw? We just did.
You know, details.
Details. Sorry. Go ahead.
But you're missing the bigger point here.
Uh-oh.
1953.
Okay.
Jackie and John announced their engagement.
That's Kennedy. A big deal.
It's a big deal. It's like
Why
Kennedy.
Why is that a big deal?
It's like Kennedy. Anyway, moving on.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Okay.
They think it is.
Tom Cruise.
We have
Tom Cruise.
Who's the wise guy? I don't want to know about Tom Cruise. What's up with him?
He raised some eyebrows on the Today Show interview in 2005.
That's important. Why?
Well, because he's only 5 foot two, and so raising eyebrows is like that's usually he's looked down upon.
Yes, he is. Wow.
I tease him for being a small man, but you know
he is small, but he looks big on screen.
Yeah, because they help on that. But he did make a really good movie. Okay, but this one kind of jumped out at me.
Okay, which is
1997. Disney pulls this band name Insane Clown Posse. That's the band. Pulls their album on the release day.
Why are they pulling their album on the release day? So I'll fall for it.
Yeah. We'll open here. There it goes. Because, and I should have looked at this before, but I can't see it quickly. But so they pulled this album in 97 because they didn't like how extreme they were.
You mean Disney didn't like how extreme the group was.
Right.
Really?
Where are they today? Where's Disney today? Where's the moral standard that Disney has
in the toilet.
Today?
In the toilet.
I don't think they need a toilet.
Well, that's
just, you know, streets of San Francisco.
That's amazing. Okay, so we have moved a long, long ways, haven't
yeah.
we? You know, speaking of which, you guys, we're going to do a couple things today in the show. We're going to go back in time and look at some of the things that were covered at the Wise Guys show and understand, you know, where we've moved, because it's been a while. I mean, if we were to actually go back through the years and find out what's been covered and what we've gone over, I think you might be like us, a little bit shocked at where we've been and where we've going. But before we even do that, I want us to remember.
Go to the scriptures.
Go to scripture. That's where we want to be.
Get a grounding.
Thank you. We want to be grounded. And there's this particular.
No. We don't want to be grounded because that has a negative connotation to it.
Does it really?
Yeah.
When you grounded to me means to be firm.
Well, or that's the good. That's the good one.
Okay.
The other one is, Johnny, we told you not to do that.
You're grounded.
So now you're grounded.
That's not a bad thing. I kind of like the idea of John being grounded because, you know, then he listens.
That's not love, is it?
It isn't. But we're going to get it into this concept. And I think the reason why we wanted to turn to this particular scripture, I don't know about you guys, but you'll turn on things on a media or social media or the news, and you'll see some of this rampant violence against people that have a belief system. Now, hear me carefully, against people who have a belief system. Okay?
Yeah, you shouldn't have a belief system.
Right.
So
and so they get angry and they use biblical texts to be upset, okay, or to prove a point. And many times people who don't know scripture well or think they know it well will use one text
just randomly
just to throw it at you,
right, out of context.
And then Christians can't figure out what to do with it. They many times don't know how to respond. Have any of you guys had that happen to you, to where you're helping someone, you think you're going through it, and then they throw this random text at you and say?
I had a pastor who had a whole
your life.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. And I'm glad you had some patience and are waiting with us because we're getting to the meat of the discussion and we're getting really excited to go over this with you.
I mean, did you really think that we were going to have our last show, our last live show, without technical difficulties?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Just want to know where you set the bar on it. I mean, that would be perfect if we, you know, the last show, everything just goes right. That would have been really cool.
Memories but, like the corners of my mind.
But what's would it be a Wise Guys show without the thing?
Okay, guys, so here's the format today. This is going to be really cool. Okay, so hang on with us. We're going to be talking about John 3:16 and what the context is of that and how you can respond to people who throw this particular text in your face. So that's number one. Number two, we're going to go down some memory lane just a little bit.
Memory.
Yeah, and talk about where the wise guys have been and where they're going. Okay, and the things that you've listened to over the years. I think many times it's important for us to remember some things. I don't know about you guys, but we always wonder, how did we get here? Why are we so messed up? Well, maybe it's because of what we knew and forgot.
Have you ever been on a journey, driving on a journey?
Yeah.
And then got to a spot and think back, I don't remember the
getting
last
here?
20 miles.
I know, right? But here I am. Here we are today in June of 2023. How did we get here? So we're going to take some time doing that. But first off, before we go on the break, we're going to let you read this text again and kind of meditate on it, okay? Because many times you'll see people that are angry at believers or Christians, and they'll say, I can do anything I want because according to your Bible, John 3:16, all I have to do is believe. Tuck, you want to read that for us? John 3:16.
For God, Yahweh, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Wow. Full stop.
Full stop. By itself, it seems pretty good, right?
Yeah.
All I got to do is believe.
That's it. Only thing I have to do is just believe, and I can do whatever I want after that.
Right.
Not so much.
No, it said it right there, Tuck. Just read it again. It said right there, all I have to do is believe, and everything's going to be fine.
No, that's not what it says.
Literally, it's exactly what it said in black and white.
But the wise guys, we've always wanted to actually dig deeper. Many times this is so easy to do, to throw out any text. It would be like reading a book, any book, and claiming that you know what the book is about.
By the one sentence.
By
that's
one
in there.
Sentence.
Yeah.
And you ruin the story. So there's more to this story. So the context of this has to do with a Pharisee coming to Yeshua and asking for wisdom, wanting to know what to do. So let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. So John 3, which is where John 3:16 is.
Oh, that's what the 3 stands for.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're going to start with the chapter, okay? Now, I know you're going, how does this relate to me today? How does it really work? Well, if you hang on tight, you'll find out how. So, Tuck, you want to read it there for us? Chapter 3, verses 1 is where you're going to begin.
There was at that place a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came at night to Yeshua and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from Yahweh, for no man can do these miracles that you are doing unless Yahweh is with him. Yeshua answered, saying to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, if a man is not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can an old man be born again? Can he enter again a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, if a man is not born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit.
So let's stop for a minute. Look at this text and notice that Yeshua is making a distinction. That which, from what we know, the concrete, the flesh, into that which we don't know, the Spirit. Okay, or that we have maybe put it aside. We no longer listen to the Spirit. We just go by our fleshly desires.
Yeah, this seems to be a new idea to the Pharisees, because when he says born again, like,
what are you talking about?
What the heck are you talking about here?
Yeah.
Have you lost your mind?
Do I find that? Shadow of death to the light.
Abraham as the father of nations, but how does that include Great Britain and the United States? Stephen J. Spikerman weaves history and prophecy in his two-volume series, A Game-Changing Revelation. What is the ancestry that links America and Great Britain to Israel? Are they mentioned in the Bible? If so, where? Grab a volume for $20 or get both for $30. Challenge your perceptions with Spikerman. His research and experience may prove quite the game changer.
Check it out at HebrewNationOnline.com and click on the Marketplace link.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, and we're going back a little bit with memory lane today and asking us, where have we been? Where are we going? But at the same time, we wanted to tackle a topic that we feel is really important, and that topic has to do with John 3:16. Many times when you meet people out in the world and they're combating against you, maybe you have a belief system saying, hey, I believe that abortion is wrong, or I believe that transgenderism is wrong, or I believe that this is wrong. And they'll throw this text back to you, and they'll say, God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish. And they put another little statement to it. If God is love, he would allow me to do what I want to do. All I have to do is believe in him and stay out of my face.
And everything's good.
Everything's good. And so we want to take this text that's thrown around a lot and look at the context. Where is it coming from? How is it being applied? And just before the break, we started to read chapter 3. And we're seeing this Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus come to Jesus by night, Yeshua. And Yeshua is saying, hey, you need to be born again.
But how can I be born again? I'm an old man.
I'm an old man. How do I climb back in? I can't do that.
It doesn't work that way. I'm bigger than my mother.
Not what I mean, children.
And so he says this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And in verse 7, he says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So he's telling Nicodemus to chill out. Listen to what I'm going to tell you, all right?
Yes, yeah, mine says, you must be born anew.
Yeah.
Not again, but anew.
Anew. Start it over. Okay, so who wants to read verses 8? Is it Tucker, Aaron? Who wants to pull it up?
I can.
Okay, go ahead, Aaron.
The wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest. I don't like this version. It's okay. It is not even the King James version.
Wow, that is a lot of.
Yes.
Knoweth. Okay, Tuck, go ahead. Yeah. Verse 8.
The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you do not know whence it comes and whither it goes. Such is every man who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered, saying to him, how can these things be?
Wow, that is a good question.
Yeshua answered, you are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?
Whoa!
Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak only what we know, and we testify only to what we have seen, and yet you do not accept our testimony? If I have told you about earthly things, and yet you do not believe, how then will you believe me if I tell you about heavenly things? No man has ascended to heaven except him who came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up, so that every man who believes in him should not perish.
So let's stop right there.
But have eternal life.
So we're in verse 15. So we've gotten just before we read 16.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all leading up to it.
Yeah,
that's all the background.
What is the context? What is Yeshua leading up to? And how does he apply what he's going to be saying? Notice everything here he's talking about is of the Spirit, in things that many times many of us don't understand.
Yeah.
But the Spirit can move us in a direction if we hear, if we listen. So to me, he's saying, put on your ears and listen. All right? So let's take that first concept in our present day world. When you see the riots, when you see these people yelling and screaming, would you say they're actually listening, or are they just – no, they're not listening.
There's not listening happening there. No, it's all speaking, demanding.
About me.
Yeah.
I can do this. Mm-hmm. How dare you interfere with me? I'm not a sinner. I'm not going to repent.
I am not playing by your rules.
I'm not playing by your rules. It's I. And so they've forgotten the heavenly things, and they only live in the fleshly world.
Right. I want what I want, and I don't care about anything else.
Right. So that's where this comes from. And that's what Yeshua is addressing. Okay? Now, he compares this to Israelites who were in the wilderness. Now, if we go back to our study, in fact, even this week in the Torah study, it talks about this. People have had many victories. Israel's had many victories in the wilderness, but then they complain again. They want things to go faster. And snakes come around and they start biting them. Okay? Now, there's all sorts of opinions on what these snakes were, where they came from, and what they were. But the point is that they were grumbling. They're complaining.
Again.
And snakes bite at their heels. Okay? And this time, Yahweh tells Moses, put this bronze serpent up, place it up, and they got to look at it. Now notice, what do you notice about that? Put the serpent up, and they have to look at it. How is that different than before?
Well, they were looking down at the ground to try to see where these snakes were.
They're looking at their flesh.
Yeah.
Okay? So here they are looking at the things that are snapping at them and biting at them. All right. And if you go back to Numbers, it's every one of those people had to repent. OK, so this is where we're going to. So let me get to that area. Let's open that up. Hold on. You hear my pages turning. All right. And we're going to get there in just one moment. We're at the fiery serpent. So this is Numbers 21. All right. And in verse 6. And Yahweh sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of the people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we've spoken against Yahweh.
So they realized their error.
Are you with me now?
Yeah.
This is pretty cool. We have sinned. All right?
So these people, the Israelites in the desert, have realized their error and are asking, where do we go?
Mm-hmm.
How do we fix this?
And what's the only way that they get to be healed?
By looking up at the serpent.
Huh? At the bronze serpent, which is that picture of Yeshua saving them from their sin. And this is what Yeshua gives them. He says in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life.
This is still in Numbers?
This is John 3.
Okay.
He's
referring, oh, yeah, right. We just read this.
He's
14 right here.
Back
yes.
to Numbers, right?
Yes.
So what did they have to do in the wilderness? First off, they had to say that they sinned.
Right. Admit the fact that, hey, we did wrong.
Right. And now they have to look to him and believe. Believe in what? What did they believe in?
Yahweh.
That he can do what?
Miracles.
Yeah, heal them from their sin,
mm-hmm.
from the serpent, from the flesh. Okay? Now, if we go back to people that are saying, well, God loves me and I can do whatever I want, how does that compare to what the analogy is here in, that Yeshua is using?
You have to do something before just whatever.
People who make that claim totally misinterpret the word of God, because you cannot use his word for your own doings. You believe in God and you do his will, period. Mm-hmm. You don't do your will, you do his will.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that say, well, I can do this because God says I can right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. But it's His will that you're doing, not your will.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you, yes, you can do whatever you want, but you can't do whatever you want and get the result
that you want.
That you
want.
That's
right.
That's the point. If I want freedom, if I want true freedom, if I want eternal life, I have to be in that spirit realm. I have to set myself up and look to what is spirit.
Yeah.
Now, notice what he said here even before. No one has ascended into heaven.
Right.
Okay. But he who descended from heaven, even which being the Son of Man. So here this is coming down from heaven to be on this stake. And he's going to say, I'm going to be on that crucifixion stake, just like the serpent. And the only way that you're going to be healed from sin is to look upon me. That's the comparison. Look at what is holy. Look at what is spirit-filled, and your life becomes changed. Now, again, reflect back to those poor people that are yelling and screaming. Where's their spirit?
Yeah.
It's in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I get to do what I want. I get to sodomize, I get to transgender, I get to be God, I get to do these things.
And because God loved the world, I'll get to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't do the first part of...
It's not the concept.
Right, you're not the, of this agreement that is here.
Yeah, so if you read on, now we get to verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So stop. God loved us enough to send his son to do what? Rescue us.
Yeah.
Okay? So now it's saying, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So just like the snake in the wilderness, if you don't want to perish from all these snake bites, look to him.
Right.
Repent and be changed. Now notice what he goes on further. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. So just like that serpent, if you look upon him, you'll be saved. If you repent, look, you're saved. Now we go on. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the judgment. So let's listen to what the judgment is.
Okay.
Because people think, well, he'll never judge me. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who practices the truth, what is truth? Yeshua and Torah. He who practices this comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as being wrought in Yahweh God. So notice the distinction. He doesn't just say anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone is being used as those are the ones who believes, just like anyone in the wilderness. Anyone in the wilderness who looked got saved.
Right.
Any one of us who looks to the light gets saved. But I have to put away my wicked deeds. He even says it here. If you're still doing wicked, you're never going to see the light.
Mm-hmm.
You're in darkness, folks. Wow. Are we getting it?
Yeah. Yes. Because what they have done is they've taken just a crumble of the full picture and said, hey, this pie is good.
Yeah.
But when you look at the whole pie, there it's not what it's not good anymore.
Yeah.
Their life, you know, their life that is pie is not good. But this one crumble would be good, but the rest of the pie can have mold in it.
Mm-hmm.
But that one crumble is fine, so the whole pie must be fine, right?
Yeah, evidently.
You can't just take the little tiny crumble out of the whole thing. You got to look at the whole to find out, hey, is the pie good? Can I eat the pie?
Mm-hmm.
Just like the scripture here, we can't take the little tiny crumble in here. You got to look at the whole thing to realize, oh, that's just one piece in a full context, in a full story to say, yes, God did come to save the world, or he did send his son to save the world. That anybody believed, and there's your key right there. Mm-hmm. So when they were like, "Oh, well, I can do whatever," do you believe in him? Mm-hmm. You know, is he going to take care of all your life? Is he going to provide for you? Is he going to do? There, will they really say, "Yes, I believe in him"?
That's the point. Notice all the contexts. So let's point them all out. First context: Nicodemus. He's a holy teacher of the word.
Yeah.
And what's Yeshua telling him to do?
Be born again.
In what realm?
The spirit realm.
The spirit realm. Okay? So that's the first context. Second context. I'm going to point you to the Son of Man descending. Therefore, he's the answer. Third context. He refers the Son of Man to the serpent in the wilderness. What did they have to do in the wilderness?
Admit they're wrong.
And then?
Turn to him.
It was an action. And in Hebrewisms, we always talk about action.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do. So here's my first effort. I got to look.
Yeah.
Well, I got to repent first. Then I got to look.
Yeah.
Then he compares. He says there is judgment. There's the judgment between those who walk in light and those who walk in darkness. The ones who walk in darkness can't even see the Son of Man because
mm-hmm.
he's light. So if I'm helping someone, if one of you guys are helping someone and they're mad at you, how can this context, how can this text help you share the gospel with them in a kind, loving, efficient way? How can we do that?
Well, the only way would be is if they are open to hearing.
They'd have to first notice. Oh, man, you just hit on something cool. Did Jesus go to Nicodemus or did Nicodemus come to Jesus?
Nicodemus wanted to hear from Yeshua.
Okay, so
he went to him.
What did you just learn? What did we just learn?
That they would have to come to us instead of them just saying, nope, this is the thing. But it's not. They would have to come to us and say, hey, am I right in my claim that just John 3:16, that's all I have to do.
Now, Nicodemus had an open spirit. Nicodemus was willing to hear. So
yeah.
I'm thinking that if I'm talking to someone, I might ask them, are you willing to hear?
Yeah.
And if so, I'll share. If you're not willing to hear.
Yeah, if you're just going to tell me.
This isn't a good time today.
Yeah. If you're just going to tell me all of your agenda items.
Yeah.
What's the point in arguing with you? Because you're not going to listen.
But that's so cool. So what did we do just now? So if I'm helping someone, I'm saying to them, I'd want you to be willing to hear. So rather than hearing my words, would you be willing to hear what we're going to read? So
the actual context of that.
Let me read this to you so you can see where the text is.
Yeah.
So you can believe me. It's not me.
Yeah, I didn't write this.
Tuck's going to read it today, okay? And I want you to listen to what Tuck's reading to you. And now what do you hear?
Yeah.
So that's step one. What's another way that you could reach someone that's combative with you and saying, I just don't want to? What's important?
Well, I just don't want to.
Right? So the number one thing is they got to be willing to hear, okay? If they are willing to hear, now where do we go? We read the whole context, right? Now if we read the whole context, now what do we do?
Well, one, we have to be open as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not open and we're just combative, they're not going to hear because they're going to feel attacked.
So how do we cross that bridge? You know what, Aaron? I'm a sinner. And the Lord rescued me because
mm-hmm.
I started to look at him.
Yeah.
And he's changed my life. Then I'm going to ask them, are you a sinner? No, I've never sinned. Really, you've never lied. You've never cheated. You've never done these things.
I saw a great documentary. I don't remember which one this was offhand, but it was that picture. This guy on the street was doing that. And he kind of started with that whole John 3:16 idea. I don't know if it was that where he started, but he kind of asked about. And he says, have you ever lied?
Yeah.
And he started going through the Ten Commandments is what he used was the guideline. He's like, well, I guess I have. Yeah. I have sinned. Okay. Yeah. Well, if those are the definition of sin, yep, I've done some of those things. And so then he kind of walked him through the process after that. It was kind of funny. And the guy's like, by the end of the interview, he was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it right now.
And it even gets more exciting even after that, because I can ask another question. Do you want to live in a world that is filled
in a world
with lying, cheating, adultery, anger, murder, strife, jealousy, all these things? Do you want to live in this world? Do you really like it here? Okay. The person goes, well, no, I don't like that. Okay, did you know that there's a way out? Do you know that there's beyond this flesh world, there's a promise that's been proven in Scripture? Would you like to know about it? You know, those sorts of things. And all of a sudden, maybe, just maybe, someone's interest gets perked, you know, rather than us, you know, laying it on them. It's really exciting.
Well, what's interesting about what you're describing there, how to kind of do this, it's all asking them questions that forcing them to process all of it instead of it just being probably previously where they were into that place of this been told, it's this. And they're, oh yeah, that sounds great. And they never processed a lot of it. Yeah. It's just, and so now they're just regurgitating. Oh, that doesn't sound very nice, does it? Regurgitating those same lines, and that's been their belief, what they were told to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this is exciting stuff. And I'm just hoping that, you know, maybe over the years, as we've done the Wise Guys, we've kind of taken this format. We've always asked questions. And I'm hoping that as you guys move forward in your own life, to learn to start asking questions. What's the context of the verse? What is it addressing? Who is it addressing? Why is it addressing? Who are the people involved?
Yeah, my wife just got a new book. She got two of them, but this one, I remember the title jumps out and is perfect right here, is Asking Better Questions of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Or something to that effect. I don't remember that's the exact wording, but that's the idea. And it's like, oh, yeah, because I don't think that we have been asking the better questions yet.
Right.
You know, the Hebrew community has done that a lot because we've gotten so far removed from the original writing of it with so many various translations. It's not sounding the same in current translations as the original translations. And so we have asked better questions over time of the Bible, kind of realize and get a better understanding, a more original understanding, we believe.
But even if this person's a newbie, if I guarantee you, even at the most craziest paraphrase, if people would just start asking questions, you would be amazed, I think, at what you might find.
Yeah.
And as you grow and you want to get deeper into other sorts of words and other sorts of understanding, great. And you want to get in a better translation, great.
Well, see, I had one, and this is just an example. Since we're running out of time here, we won't even go anywhere with it. But see if I can scroll back here to that. It said, I'm not going to see where that is here. But it's, here it is. And no one hath ascended into heaven, but he who has descended out of heaven.
Right? We'll be back.
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Good morning and welcome. welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. And we just want to say hi once again. We're coming into our last hour here, our last live show that we're going to be doing with you. Everything else will be changing here shortly. But, you know, you won't be able to hear our mistakes anymore. Skype going out.
Man, come on.
Sniffling our noses, coughing into the mic. Yeah, those will all be taken away. But anyways, we're glad you're here. And, you know, we just finished up with going over John 3:16 and coming to an understanding of what the wise guys are all about. The wise guys are about questions, and that's why we call it the wise guys. Wise people will take a moment.
Why would you ask questions?
To really dig deep, right?
But why would you want to dig deep?
I don't want to know anymore. I just want to be stupid. I mean, did I just say that? That's a politically incorrect word.
But I think it's a pretty common standing.
So
at least when you look around in the world, that's what it seems.
I know, right? Everyone has their own agenda. Everyone has their own thing, and you develop belief systems. Many times, those belief systems are stagnant, or they're old, or they're narrow. And but sometimes belief systems are fantastic. They're broad and they're huge and they're exciting. And at least I believe, I don't know what Tuck and Aaron believe here, but I'm going to ask them in a minute. But for me, when I ask questions, it opens things up for me. I can see them, okay? And then my understanding becomes larger, or it becomes affirmed, or it, rather than questioning, it becomes more solid. I mean, questions are a good thing. Helps us out a lot. I know, Tuck, you like to do this a lot. You know, you like to study and say, why is this here? Or what's the words involved? Has it been beneficial for you in your life, being a wise guy and digging deeper?
Oh, yeah. It's, you can have ideas about any given thing and be right on, but unless you are accounted for by an individual or a group of individuals, you don't know. You just have your own opinion over it.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody hears what I have to say and they say, I don't know, Tuck, I think you should look at this. I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have the truth, but you never hold yourself to account, then what do you have?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and over the years, I mean, Tuck has been a Midrash teacher for over the years, and he starts off with questions for people, and they get into the question, and then some people give an answer. And then that's when you get some of these comments. I don't know about your answer. I like to get this one, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's important. There's a text that's called Iron Sharpens Iron, right? It's amazing. And we hope that you'll continue to do that as you become a wise guy. Aaron, what about you? You like this idea of digging deeper? Has it helped you grow in the years? Or
why do you care what I think about it?
I know, right? Why would someone even care? I mean, really.
Why are you asking me these questions? Do you have an agenda?
No, right?
No, yeah. I mean, I've always been, you know, somebody who likes to question things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over the years I've gotten better at finding the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
And... so yeah, when it got to scripture, and scripture was one of the last places where I asked questions.
Really?
Yeah, because the church that I grew up in, so where I kind of started my faith walk was in church. It was all, you know, they told me this is what it means. This is what it means. I was like, well, okay. You know, I was in that mode of, you know, all of the adults around me telling me this is how you live life. Do these things. Don't do those things. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just continue doing that. Go to church. They're telling you that. Go to church school. They're telling you that. And so kids kept going, and I wasn't asking the questions in those arenas. And it wasn't until I'm not sure when it was when I really kind of first started asking some questions. But I do remember, like, in youth group and stuff, challenging some of those ideals. Like, my wife and I have talked many times about that religion was really big on you've got to pray all the time. You know, if you go in and you say your prayers and then you walk out and you get run over, you don't know if you're going to be going to heaven or something, because if you sinned in that 30 seconds between when you prayed and when you walked out there.
Oh, so there's a big fear factor.
Right. You know, and so I started questioning that. I was like, well, really?
Would God work like that?
I mean, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And so you start asking the question. And so it was on small things like that. And by the time we get to being introduced to the Hebrew roots kind of mindset, it was really, okay, I'm going to really start asking all kinds of questions now.
You know, you hit on something really, really important. Many times, like when I grew up like you, we were told to memorize and know.
Yeah, right.
Memorize and know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And we're going to tell you what this means.
Right.
So memorize that part too.
Right. Okay, this is the truth. This is what you must know. And I think the problem with that many times is that what if you forget? So So you're talking with a person and they want an answer and you're going, I know the answer.
It's in there somewhere.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Okay, so let me try to remember the answer, or whatever the answer is.
Right.
But if I were to take my time with the person and go, you know, I can't remember what you're talking about. Let's look it up.
There you go.
Okay. And let's find
out. Let's go to the source.
What's here?
As one of our original wise guys, let's go to the beginning.
Right? Right. We're going to go over those. I mean, I thought it'd be fun to do today to go over some of these. And Aaron, you had looked some things up. If you guys want to go to Hebrew Nation Radio online, and you can go down to the schedule, okay? You'll see a schedule below if you scroll down. So Hebrew Nation Radio online. You scroll down that schedule, and you'll see Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And on every Tuesday at 8 a.m., you'll come down and you'll see the wise guys, the three wise guys. And right beside them, if you just look to the right, there'll be a little button, and it'll say read more or learn more, and you hit that button. And when you go there, I haven't been there in a long time, dude, and you'll see all these podcasts.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
You think? And so I'm looking at these podcasts, and I'm going, that's a lot of shows.
Yeah, I scrolled through 17 pages. And that only took me back into 2019, maybe 2018. I don't remember if it went into 2018 or not. 17 pages.
I am amazed at these. You know, so I'm looking through these things, and I'm going, there's a lot of questions. So I looked all the way back to January 19, okay, just to see what was there at the start of January 19.
Okay.
And here's a title. Is your idol a wild child?
Oh, yeah. I saw that one. That's right.
And so we talked about idols. What might they be? What might they look like? How can you be a believer of truth? And what are some of the answers that some of us have found out about the idols in our own lives?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great show, you know, when I look back at that. Are there idols that you hold on to that maybe you haven't addressed? Maybe your idol is just being the bad guy, which is what the wild child was about.
I mean, I will make an admission here. For a time, the Portland Trailblazers probably were an idol for me.
Interesting.
I was a huge fan I still today have clothes with their logo on it and stuff. And I was very proud. Ooh. Okay. I was very proud of my Trailblazers. And I would defend them when they would lose and when stuff would happen. And I was holding on to that thing. Hmm. And it was distracting me from other parts of life. I'm sure of it.
Family, Bible, whatever. It could be a lot of things.
Yeah. And then finally they got stupid enough that I finally just said no. And I haven't paid attention since. And now I've moved on to other stuff.
Wow.
You know, and so the idols that can be anything. I mean, that was just, you know, an example. I mean, and you think about some of these people out there, some of these sports fans out there, how deep have they gone?
Right.
Oh, into a sports idol.
Oh, you'll see them.
Oh, my goodness.
In the stands, you know.
Anybody who thinks that LeBron James actually is worth a grain of salt, you know.
Here's some of the titles all the way back from 19 and 18. Are Yahweh's people required to be joyous? Are we required to be happy? That was one that we had gone over. I thought it was interesting. And even today, as we speak, I pull this up from December of 18. And here's the title. Are you prepared to give an answer to what we believe? Are you prepared to give an answer to what you believe? And we have to be going over that right now.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's it. Another one. Is hope nothing else but a roller coaster ride? Okay?
It is a roller coaster ride, yes. As long as it's not a roller coaster ride that throws you off of it, just as we saw back in Sweden this week.
Yeah.
The roller coaster derailment. Did you see about that?
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, my goodness.
And on this show, we brought up Dr. Halissa Allwine. Now, we've brought up some great, great guests, and she's learned to actually recognize what are the seven spirits of Yahweh, and how can we make our understanding see even a bigger picture within the spirit world, okay? And then setting our hope on things that are greater than just ourselves. So these are some things that we would bring up with people. Can you be joyous? Do you have hope? How do you not be on such a roller coaster ride? We have some great teachers that have been on with us over the years.
Yeah.
Do you remember some of those?
I have a list of a lot of them. Of course, one of our favorites is Avi Ben-Mordecai. He was just here just recently.
Ah, what a scholar.
Yeah.
You know, he's taking his time. What's so amazing about Avi, you give him one word or one sentence or a question.
Oh, he'll take up a whole segment.
And then what does he do with it? Oh, I don't know, Ron. We got to study this out. Okay, so about a year later.
Yeah, right. He comes out with a book.
I think I know some answers.
I'm not an expert.
I'm not an expert.
I just know more about it than everybody else on the planet, but I'm not an expert.
But I think I got something here. I mean, yeah, so guys, when you look back on some of these shows, look up some of his interviews. He had some great stuff. What else did we have on there?
One of Tuck's favorites.
Ah.
Mike Clayton.
Michael Clayton. Yeah, he actually does a show on Hebrew Nation called The Living Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about Michael is he likes to put things in stories. He likes to make them applicable to some life-giving story
that's
been through.
That's actually a tool that I discovered through somebody else, Glenn Beck, in history, learning history.
Uh-huh.
You know, in school, we took history classes for I don't know how many of the years I was in school that we had history class. And I learned dates, I learned people, I learned about events, but I learned so much more about it out of school when it was the stories around the dates and the events and the people. Because I got the context of what was happening then, instead of just, nope, this person did this thing on this day.
Yeah.
you know.
Hearing stories can make a change.
Yeah.
It's called a testimony. And we're told in the New Testament church to give our testimonies.
Yeah.
There was a young lady that we interviewed in here that I just had a ball with. Her name was Ivy. And she was actually showing us through her own story how to move away from victimhood.
Oh, right.
How to overcome right. being a victim. And, man, some of us need that, especially in today's world. I mean,
right.
you know, all these people,
yeah.
you're so mean to me, and you did this. And
wow.
That was amazing. Yeah, great, great
I
interview.
Mean, be a human.
That was only
We're
back
all here.
In September of 22. To me, it just seemed like yesterday that yeah. we had that interview.
Well, you're old.
Yeah, I am.
How about P.D. Westerhuizen talking about a young guy?
Oh, he was so young and on fire. In fact, his show is called Rise on Fire.
Yeah.
And you can turn into his show on Hebrew Nation Radio online. What did you guys pick up from P.D. besides all that enthusiasm? I mean, what was his focus? Do you remember? Living in the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
So often we get so stuck into just the fleshly responses, and he was
right.
asking us to learn how to pray,
mm-hmm.
to learn how to move into the spirit realm, and to start believing and trusting in those areas. What a great show that learned a lot on that one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dr. Henry Ely.
Oh, I'm just looking at him right now. He was talking about how light can shine into darkness.
Yeah,
and in his realm, it's talking about truth.
Mm-hmm.
He was all about the COVID, how to put truth into the COVID world, how to heal yourself,
mm-hmm.
how to understand all the information that we're giving. And besides having Dr. Henry Ely, we also had a senator on with us.
State senator, yeah.
Yeah, Dennis Linthicum. And he's one of the few that's been able to stand tall in the midst of an upheaving world here in Salem, Oregon. Sodom, Oregon. I know, right? Dennis was telling us how to look up things. He was showing us how to read law. He was telling us how to stand up, you know. So, man, I learned a lot on that one.
And he led us to Mark Thielman.
Yep. Oh, Mark. What did you guys pick up off of Mark? I can tell you what I remember clear as a bell, but
pretty righteous.
What do you mean by that when you say righteous?
Well, having the right way to guide your life, and I mean, doing the right thing, living the right way. That's righteousness. That's Yahweh's way.
Yeah, to me, Mark was righteous in that he was unafraid to speak truth.
Yeah.
In a public arena. That to me was like righteous.
Yeah.
I mean, he was calling it out as it was, and he was running for governor, and what a wonderful campaign he was doing.
Yeah, I'm thinking that he's going to continue that and run for Secretary of State.
Uh-huh.
Because of some of the stuff that he's doing, he's in the middle of suing the state right now
uh-huh.
on election integrity.
Yeah, I mean, Mark was all about integrity.
Yeah.
He was all about truth. And he was trying to inspire those that live in the Christian realm to actually get off your duffs and to make a change, vote.
Right.
Yeah, what a wonderful show that was. Man, we had him on at least 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going all the way back to 21 and stuff. Yeah.
Dr. Richard Ruling.
Oh, Dr. Richard, I love him, right? Talk about a fire hose, right?
Yeah, the double fire hose.
He loves to talk about prophecy. He had a book called Megaquake 23. He still believes this is going to be happening. And he has a lot of stuff to prove it. He takes us down Daniel. He takes us to Revelation. And he's mostly telling us to remember to be like the wise virgins, not the silly ones.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So
just be prepared. If it's this year or 30 years from now, be prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, talking about another fire hose is Linda Watson.
Oh, my goodness.
My word. She, you know, we're going to be bringing her out here to Oregon here to talk, but she knows her history. Man, she just pops off history, and we've had a number of interviews with her that were exceptional.
Yeah.
And you'll find those when you look under the wise guys and look up some of these things.
How about our favorite call-in guy?
Favorite call-in guy? I'm trying to remember that.
Mr. Radio Boy.
Oh, Mr. Oh, yes.
Robert Randall.
Robert Randall. You know, Robert Randall has a show on with the Hebrew Nation called Kadosh Shaka, and he talks about music, where it comes from, how to interpret it, what's it about. I think that's a really relative show, which amazed me at times, because I was thinking, well, how much further in music could you actually go?
Says the music guy.
Says the music guy. But, I mean, Robert takes it to a whole nother level.
How about another doctor? Want another doctor?
Yeah.
Frank Seekins.
Oh, okay. That was one of my favorite shows. Why? Frank Seekins takes our biblical understanding by the Hebrew letters, okay? And he asks us to explore those letters on what they actually mean, and he applies it to real life.
And why would you want to do that?
Well, Frank was talking about a key problem that's happening in the U.S. today, and that is the saving of the marriage.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
And finding your identity as a man and finding your identity as a woman. And he took the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew understanding of man, woman, and marriage and broke it down to something really simple. And it was, the main concept was about hearing each other. Okay, not walking over each other,
yeah,
but realizing the gifts that God gave the woman, gifts that Yahweh God gave the man, okay? And that was critical. And in today's society, it's all about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
My husband doesn't love me. My wife doesn't love me. Where? And so he talks about loving the other person. And that's what the Bible from the Hebrew language asks us to do.
Right.
Love your wife. Love your husband. And when you start loving outwardly, you start receiving.
Yeah.
Great show. Oh, my word. Yeah. I remember that well.
Don Hagedorn.
Oh, my goodness. Don, wonderful lady. Okay, and she also has a show on Hebrew Nation, and she talks about prophecy as well. And do you remember that show? We called her up, okay, and we were hoping that we could connect with her because she lives way out in the wild of Montana.
Oh, that's right. She was up on a mountaintop, right, to get the reception. That's right.
Cell phone reception.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Don, are you there? Yeah, I'm here. You know, we're going to see if we can keep the reception going as long as we can. You know, there was another show that really impacted me. It's all the way back in May of 2022. And we interviewed this guy called Ellen Aguera. And Ellen was a musical guy who had been in the physical world, the rock and roll world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the title is, Can We Live Spiritually in a Physical World? Can we actually live a spiritual life in a sin-filled world? And Ellen took us down a road there that was just fabulous, teaching us how we could stand up for our faith. I thought that was amazing. Yeah. What else you got?
Did we mention Linda Watson yet?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Laura Densmore.
Laura Densmore, she loves to travel, you know, and she goes to Israel, and she's really on top of the current Israeli news,
mm-hmm.
okay? And same thing with George Witten. Witten does worthynews.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had Laura on with us. We've had George Witten. In fact, George we had on back in March of 22, and he was telling us how the world was reacting to these COVID things and the shot and what was happening in Israel with
that. he got stuck stateside during COVID because Israel locked down so hard they couldn't even go back home.
Right. So you can find that show all the way back in March of 22. George Witten. No, that was the miracles. No, George was in March. Yeah, March 22.
He was on a couple of times. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Stephen J. Spykerman weaves history and prophecy in his two-volume series, A Game-Changing Revelation. What is the ancestry that links America and Great Britain to Israel? Are they mentioned in the Bible? If so, where? Grab a volume for $20 or get both for $30. Challenge your perceptions with Spykerman. His research and experience may prove quite the game changer.
Check it out at HebrewNationOnline.com and click on the Marketplace link.
You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
At some of these shows, and I think we've had a desire to actually
annoy people.
What?
Annoy people?
Well, annoy, but I look at some of these titles. Do miracles still happen today? What is a religious spirit? Is Yahweh still in the business of changing hearts? Can you dance your way out of fog? That was when we brought in Ralph and Mindy Sita.
Are you zealous for the kingdom?
Yeah. There seems to be an underlying message of, get off your duff and start, looking.
Yeah.
Rather than being caught up into discouragement or feeling sorry for yourself. We were even kind of ahead of the times. Back in 19, we were already talking about transgenderism. And all the way back in 16, we were talking about the elitists. That, to me, was amazing.
Well, when I was going back and I was looking at a couple of things, in the first part, might have been May-ish. I don't remember exactly now. I think it was May, maybe June. You did a show. I was not on there, but it was you and Rick. And you had on, tell me the name of that, Oregon Freedom Health.
Oh, yeah, Freedom Health.
Talking about vaccine mandates. Now, this is before COVID. This is 19. It didn't happen until end of 19.
Right.
And you were talking about vaccine mandates at that point.
That's right.
It was a year and a half later, if that's where we found ourselves.
That is amazing. And all the way in... And even looking forward from the 19 to 21, we stayed with that theme with about four or five different shows. In fact, when we brought on Dr. Henry Ely, which is one of the supporters mm-hmm. of Freedom for Health, he talks about, are you looking for solutions or are you just being angry?
Yeah.
Because being angry can make your day pretty lousy.
Right. And then we had in there, this was on August 4 of 20. Why not wear a mask? It's good to do your part to help others.
Yeah, we're being a little tongue-in-cheek with that, right?
Yeah.
So we explored the mask issue, what it did for you, what it didn't do for you.
If it just saves one life.
I know, right?
If it just saves one life to put the gun away, if it just saves one life, how about have a gun?
Yeah. We've talked about those. About this. We've talked about saving lives with your children, finding school solutions.
Yeah.
Finding how to be a good parent, how to be a spiritual warrior, mm-hmm. even when the government takes away your rights. How to be a witness for Yahweh when things are uncertain.
Is the Declaration of Independence a relevant document today?
That was a fun one.
Yeah.
We actually read the Bill of Rights. I think we did two shows.
We did one on the Constitution, yeah.
Yeah, so we just read it. So yeah. we were tired about talking points. We go, let's just read.
See what it says. Yeah.
Rather than just let's be wise guys and look into this, Which I don't know why we don't do that more often. I don't know.
We had some other real good guests, too. We didn't finish that list.
Okay, what did we have?
Bonnie Harvey.
Bonnie Harvey. Oh, my goodness. See, well, Bonnie does things with L.A. Marzulli, okay? Mm-hmm. And she has a show called Flashpoint and a number of things. And Bonnie has been really adept at listening to what is going around in the spirit world, what's around.
Okay,
her.
Yeah.
And she – and some of the visions that she has seen, and also working with L.A. Marzulli and seeing some of the things that are – that what normal people don't really pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
All the way into the ideas of are there alien life forms? Are there an unidentified object? Do angels still show up and pull you out of a car?
Yeah.
I mean, those sorts of things. That was very insightful.
Mark Call.
Oh, Mark. My good. And many of you have heard Mark Call on Hebrew Nation Radio because he's always on top of the news. That guy, every day, it's a new show. It's a new show. And we got to know more about him. Okay, because Mark comes off as this pretty tough guy on the news.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to talk about his spiritual life and how he operates at his farm and his faith walk. And that was, again, an amazing show.
Jonah Freeman.
Oh, Jonah. Oh, my goodness. We know Jonah, he does a lot of things in the community,
mm-hmm.
helps out in prison ministries. So he has a completely different perspective, and he will take the things out of Torah and pull them out almost like and try to make them clearer. So he'll take a one sentence within Torah and then break that sentence down. Okay. And then it makes even more sense.
Yeah.
And he likes to make it practical because he deals with prisoners. He deals with people who have been caught into bondage. And so he shows the freedom of Torah. Okay? And that's, I think, Jonah's gift,
mm-hmm.
is he's able to show the freedom of Torah and that we can find grace in the midst of this law that we think is such a heavy-duty law that we have to keep.
Right.
Jonah goes, no, let's take you to finding grace. Isn't he fun?
Yeah. Monty Christensen.
Monty Christensen.
He wrote the book 70 times 7.
Oh, what a story. In fact, we still have that book at Hebrew Nation Radio. And he talks about where he was, you know, drugged and addicted and how the Lord just kept on bringing him back out of that.
Yeah.
And again, similar to Ivy's story, because we always think that Yahweh just heals. Well, many times he does. I mean, he'll take someone and you're healed, boom, and it's a miracle and let's step up.
Yeah.
But for most people, it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It doesn't just happen overnight. And it takes people to have patience, understanding, caring, working within their lives, and then their lives are changed. And both Ivy and Monty brought that to light. That it's work coming out of darkness. It takes patience.
How about Kimberly Rogers Brown?
Oh, right. Kimberly's also one of those people like Laura who understands the things that are happening in Judea and Israel and those sorts of things. And they either live there or travel there a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what she brought to light.
Yeah, she does the Beast Watch News.
Right. And she sees it from that perspective.
Right.
So over there in Israel.
Samuel Werp.
Guy.
Nation's Ninth of Av.
Oh, very, again, a similar. That's a prayer ministry.
Yeah.
Okay, to where people are realizing that you can't just pray alone. Okay? All right? You can join a group and be effective and powerful even in that group. It's kind of like that call of if my people will pray,
mm-hmm.
that Yahweh talks about in Scripture, then I will heal their land.
Right.
Okay? And if we just would pray as a nation, hence the Ninth of Av, you know, that they will be effectual. Yeah, that was a great, great show.
Stephen Shirley Reese, I think we talked about them, Harp and Story.
Harp and Story, that man has healed so many lives with his music.
Yeah.
Because he has studied the frequencies of music, the healing power of music. And his harp playing is majestic. And he's on Hebrew Nation Radio. You can hear him constantly. And wow, his story is amazing. And I have played that music when I've helped people be healed, and they have felt the healing power from it. even when they were either unconscious or in a coma. I'd ask them what they remember, and they go, it felt like I was hearing music from heaven. That's all I could remember. Yeah, Steve Reese.
Teresa Bates of Adonai Ministries.
Guy, help me with that one. Because everything you're throwing at me, it's right off the cuff. I mean, my goodness. Do you have anything there?
That's all I wrote down. Okay, so I can't remember for sure that. I didn't look that deep into the show notes on that one.
Is that the way?
No. That was John Sherman from 119.
Oh, yeah.
Came on with Luke and Katie Abafi.
Oh, Luke and Katie Abathy. Yeah.
Abathy. Okay.
Yeah.
That was for The Way.
They put out a video called The Way, and that has changed so many lives. It took a real honest, refreshing look at what Torah is and what it isn't.
Yeah.
And they did it by going around the country and asking people questions. You know, what do you think of Torah, and has it affected your life? Tuck, isn't this amazing of how much information is actually out there all these different perspectives?
Well, we all have one, and most of us barely touch the surface of what is before us, let alone investigating anybody else's viewpoint.
Perspective, yeah.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling how much information is out there.
You know, which actually, all the way back in June of 19, we had this really special show. It was called Has Friendship Become a Lost Art?
Yeah.
And we addressed this idea how most of our friendships are superficial, and that how do we find close, meaningful friendships? And we address that with the wise guys, and so that we can actually maintain relationship. That's amazing.
Remember Joe Amond?
Oh, he is a young man that has a wonderful ministry. And
Out of Ashes.
Out of Ashes. Ashes. And yeah. So he's on the Hebrew Nation now. And we wanted to bring on some of these younger guys to get their perspectives about the Hebrew way of looking at it, because we have a lot of older folks in the movement, and they're older because they moved from different churches. Like they belonged to a Christian belief, and then they found out
some didn't feel right for whatever reason.
Yeah, they found it more truth, and they wanted to delve into that. And then we had this new generation that came along, and Joe and PD and all these other sorts of people, would help the wise guys put things into perspective, okay, from a young person's point of view. That was fantastic, yeah.
The last one on my list that I came across, Laura Lee.
Oh, Laura Lee, the Good Samaritan woman.
Yeah. And the topic we had with her on September 17 of 19, how can we heal our marriages?
Yeah, both Laura Lee and Dr. Deb. Okay, Dr.
Has
a morning show. Both of those women really come from the viewpoint of helping us get over our baggage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Many times people have either been physically abused, verbally abused, mentally abused, and those things carry over into marriages.
Yeah.
And so what they would talk about is how to get healing before getting that marriage put together. Or even if you're in a marriage, how to address these issues and come out of them alive.
Right. Yeah.
It gets your marriage on the right track.
Or healthy.
Or healthy.
Yeah.
So you can actually converse with your loved one.
Yeah.
Again. Wow. Man, this has been a fun little journey.
I wrote down a couple of running topics that we seem to have, you know, kept coming back to.
Okay.
You know, with multiple different shows. And they range from stuff like prophecy and revelation. That's kind of the same topic, really.
Uh-huh.
COVID, we hit a lot on. Politics from all kinds of angles. It just shows up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The feast days, transgenderism. Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make a difference you know, can you make a difference?
I think that was when you give me those topics, I think what sets wise guys off a little bit differently is that we do that. How do we make a difference within those topics?
Right.
So
yeah.
rather than just complaining about the news or yeah. complaining about this.
How do you deal with the news? How do you deal with what's going on? Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How do you make it function?
And how do you make your place in
this world function?
Right. Different and better. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is it possible to change our life course? So similar kind of thing. Why has this generation chosen tyranny over freedom? That was actually a topic idea back at February 22. So then I kind of expanded that a little bit and added socialism over communism. Socialism over capitalism, and following and not leading.
I think the last one is what really corrects both of those shows. Okay, because when we learn to follow the King of Kings.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in a better place rather than following the kings of this world.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to lead in the spirit of Yeshua and the spirit of Yahweh. And then we can see these politics in a much different light.
Right.
You know, like we were talking about this morning as we came in, notice that everything seems negative, right? If I really let it come on me, it would be like, God, this is negative.
Yeah. How we address was there, right?
Yeah.
But if
we look at it from Yahweh's point of view, it's opening to his coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. So if I ask the question, how can we lead rather than follow? We're leading towards kingdom life.
We lead to following.
Yeah. Following the King of Kings. Opening up kingdom life. And if I'm in kingdom life, if you guys are in kingdom life, we are praising the Lord about this stuff.
Yeah.
Not complaining about it.
Amen.
We're going, this is good.
Yeah. Then we also hit on like Shemitah, Sabbath rest, hit that one a couple of times.
Yeah.
As well as, tend the garden.
Oh,
fits in there as well.
I was just looking at this one because I think that was important to you for a number of reasons, but it came true, I think, to this particular reason. In November of 19, we had a show called Train Up a Child in the Way That He or She Should Go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And for you, I remember this, that's your garden, okay? It's your family, okay?
Right.
And it's your responsibility. We have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that is tend to your family, tend to your neighborhood, tend to your church, tend to your fellowship.
It's one of the first instructions that Yahweh gave mankind.
Yeah.
Tend to the garden.
Yeah. Yeah. What's in front of you, Bucky?
and so the garden has kind of changed over the 6,000 years of, you know, biblical history. Well, so we'll put it that way, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a lot of things that come into what our garden is.
Mm-hmm. We saw this all the way back in November and December of 2019. We saw this. We felt this movement of government getting ready to attack family.
Yeah.
So we even brought on two homeschooling teachers.
Oh, that's okay? Right. That's right.
We brought on Renee and Todd Ellison. We brought on another group of homeschoolers. And then we even talked about the tending of the garden, the need to minister to your family. And we were really onto that.
Yeah.
And it was like, come on. And we even talked about how to be a good neighbor during those times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so not only tending your immediate family, but what's around you. And how to hear the Spirit. If he's talking to you in a different language, how do you tune in so you can handle this coming problem that we foresaw that was going on?
So before we run out of time, we should probably hit on all the hosts that have been on this show.
Well, we've been doing that, haven't we? Oh, the hosts.
Oh, yeah. Not the guests.
That's right. I'm with you now.
So the longest standing host, who would that be? Who would that be? The longest standing host.
Oh,
you.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Since 2010, 13 years.
So who'd you start with?
I started with Michael Schroening and Rick Gustin. Okay.
So you were the first three.
Yeah, and Michael we brought on because he was really young at the time, had a tremendous sense of humor, and he would always make fun of things.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And Rick was always this wonderful person that would love everybody, everything.
Gentle giant.
Gentle giant.
And if you haven't seen him before, if you saw him, you would understand he's a big giant teddy bear.
Yes. And then when...
He was incredibly strong.
Yes.
And then Mike was leaving because he was moving to Colorado, and he was making some changes in his life. Mm-hmm. And we brought on Gus Bergstrom.
Yeah.
Okay. And Gus, we had a trio going on that we played roles. And just in case you guys are listening, wondering how does the wise guys happen? Well, that's when we first started to really understand role playing within
the dynamics
within the pod, of the trio. Within the podcast. And Gus became the techie person. He would be the one that filled the role of being intellectual, asking some questions from an intellectual point of view. And he would look things up. So we all looked things up before the show, but on the show, you would hear him doing that. The role I was supposed to play was the skeptic, which is never really believing whatever he had to say or never believing what Rick Gustin had to say.
Right.
And evidently, I was okay with it because Rick many times would get hugely bothered. Okay,
because he wasn't catching on to your little game you're playing.
Oh my goodness! And at a break,
Roland,
do you really believe that? No, Rick, I don't.
I'm being the listener.
And then Rick, of course, would again love on people again.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
It was just a great way of doing things. And then those two guys were having look like they were moving. Gus had to start a business focus, and Rick thought he was going to be going to Idaho, and then I brought on you guys.
Yeah, I filled in a couple of times in before there, and then one of them, I don't remember which one was first, kind of took off, so then I kind of had more of a permanent role at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, when I looked at Tuck, I thought of Tuck as bringing in this older, wiser guy that would just pop in and stuff and say things like I knew he would say.
Yeah.
I mean, Roland, that's not exactly right.
you don't believe that.
Or he would say, Ed Torres says this, you know, and I have found this to be true. Or he might bring in a story. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's why I kind of lean towards Tuck. And then also you, I knew, loved computer things. So I knew that you would kind of ask questions and you would see things from a new believer sort of point of view because you hadn't been in the Hebrew roots very much.
Yeah. I mean, I've only been in the Hebrew side of thinking since 14. Yeah, 14, into 14,
yeah.
When I first got introduced. And so it's still...
Fresh.
Newish in my head,
yeah.
You know, coming up on 9 years, but still, it's a completely different thought process. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of change in the actual belief, but
yeah.
So yeah.
But the wise guys, the basic format is this: ask a question.
Mm-hmm. Wait, then, what do you mean?
Ask a question and look for some solutions and don't be a putz. So many people are so serious. They're down in the mouth and they're just so negative, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the idea of the wise guys, making fun of ourselves, making fun of those around us, and then looking to scripture for an answer.
Yeah. So before we go too much further, I want to say, Tuck, I have thoroughly enjoyed, you know, spending a couple hours a week in this little tiny studio with you and hearing the wisdom that you have developed over the years of 20-ish years in the Hebrew community.
Yeah. Yeah. 23.
Yeah.
23.
And so thank you for the time that we've had together in that.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Betts over here, coach.
Wow.
Thank you for including me in this little show you created an eon ago.
Pleasure. You guys be blessed.
The darkness must flee from the living word. darkness must flee. Yeshua is the light of the world.